Hello, everyone, and welcome. Ooh, a bit too loud. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Freight to a Good Home. Back after, I would say, a six-week hiatus.
Yeah,
Benjamin, how are you?
I'm good. This was the episode that very nearly didn't happen, I have to say. I don't know if you guys have read Stephen King's book about the JFK assassination. Either of you read that book?
I have not.
It's the name of the book is the date that the assassination happened.
Uh-huh.
And the last two digits are 63. And I
thought it was 69. I thought that was always a funny thing about JFK.
What?
Sorry, we should introduce our guest. Our guest today, a wonderful comedian currently performing at the Sydney Comedy Festival who... Actually, by the time this comes out, your shows will probably be over. It'll take me a while to edit it. Grace Jarvis, hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
When do you think, we'll do a little competition, when do you think JFK was assassinated?
I have never thought about it before. The olden times.
You'd say, what, before or do you say, because Ben's saying 63, I'm saying 69.
65.
Splitting the difference. I think it's 69. Well,
I mean, like, I've told you that it's correct, that it's 63. Like, we're not playing again. Like, this isn't, the price is right.
I think it's 69 because it's like a funny thing, like.
No, because he wasn't president when we went to the moon, which was 1969.
Oh, I this thought, is true.
Oh, okay. I thought...
No, on account of being...
Didn't he say...
Exploded.
Why do we go there?
Yeah, he said we choose to go to the moon, not because of these... Because, but that was like announcing it. It took some time from when he said that to people being on the moon.
Have you seen those pictures of those ladies next to those big piles of books? They had to write so many numbers down.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Because I think we've both been to the Powerhouse Museum recently.
Yes. They had to write down so many numbers. Yeah. They got no credit.
Anyway,
my point
sorry,
is, Ben. In
1963.
In the Stephen King book.
Six years before, the funniest year of all time.
Stephen King is really getting into territory that he's just gone loose. He's gone rogue.
Well, yeah. I mean, so what this is about is a guy who's, I believe, in Bangor, Maine, statistically, finds a portal to 1961 behind a diner. And he realizes he has the potential to go back in time and stop the assassination of JFK.
Right.
So, but to do that, he has to live in 1961 and then two and then, you know, every time he does it, he has to, you know, live through to the point where,
because
it's not exact. Anyway, Stephen King's thing, because, you know, whenever you read a time travel thing or see a time travel thing, you're like, oh, I wonder what the time travel rules this author's come up with.
What's the logic they've done?
What's the logic? I've never seen this done before. And I think this is why Stephen King is the master storyteller. His thing about time travel is you can go back in time, but if you try and change too much stuff, for example, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, you shit your pants, basically.
What?
Yeah, like you time...
This is a real novel?
This is a very... Grace, this is a very popular and thick novel that was, I believe, adapted into a series with James Franco. What happens is that time keeps trying to write itself. And conspires to stop you from doing it. So there's a little bit of Final Destination going on, you know what I mean? The reason I raise this, guys, is because every step of the way it really felt like time did not want us to record this podcast.
Oh, sure.
Grace got catastrophically lost on the way here.
Yes.
You had to see your grandmother early in the morning.
Yep.
I almost didn't make it from Broadway where I have literally abandoned my family to do this. And then just as we're about to hit play, we realized that the recorder did not have a card in it.
Didn't have an SD card.
In the Stephen King-iverse...
One of
us would have shit ourselves. Because he does in this book that ends in 6-3, the title of it. There are some things like, oh, the bus doesn't come when he's on his way to kill Lee Harvey Oswald or like he falls over or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But like 90% of the things that happen to him are...
Food poisoning.
Are shitting his pants, basically. And this is done with a pretty straight bat, I have to say. Like,
Americans are wild. Like, I wouldn't even think of that as a thing to do. Like, it happened, man. I wasn't friends with the guy. Like, I'm not.
If you were going to go back in time and fix one wrong from history, what would yours be, Grace? Bearing in mind that whatever you choose will obviously be a choice against every other wrong in history.
That's
true. My fucking up late set last week.
Wow. The 9/11 does not get a look in for Grace.
I don't know that I have the power to stop anything too large, but I could have probably slowed down doing my own jokes.
So tell me how you're in Sydney doing your show at the Enmore.
Mm-hmm.
How's it been going?
Well, I haven't started the show yet, but so far, every time I come to Sydney, I just get just thoroughly humbled.
Where do you typically live?
It's Melbourne.
Okay. Melbourne. But you're from, you've sort of moved around quite a bit.
My family's from New Zealand, but I grew up in Queensland for the most part. But usually when I stay in Sydney, I stay with Tom and Demi, friends of the podcast, and they got COVID. So then I had to frantically try and find somewhere else to live.
We'll say that on the podcast. Tom Walker and Demi Lardner have the coronavirus. And if you see them out and about, they're being irresponsible.
So irresponsible.
They're too responsible. Like,
you should try and kill them before you shit yourself.
I dropped off 2 Freddo cakes at their house the other day.
It's a lovely thing that you do, because this is not the first time you've dropped off.
No, I did to Dave Harmon as well. Sometimes when my friends
What's interesting is because I had COVID at some point and didn't get a Freddo cake.
It has to line up with my schedule. I have to be in Sydney when you get COVID. I think when you had COVID, maybe I was traveling.
Yeah, all right.
And anyway, also, you live in an apartment building, probably, which is very hard to get cakes to
people.
I could
have thrown a cake
at... I just tried to get in here. It was like a labyrinth.
So, wait, sorry. I cut you off. You went to stay with Tom and Demi. They have COVID. So, where are you staying now?
I'm
are you sleeping
with
on the street?
with my friend Lou Wall, another excellent comedian. Mm-hmm. Their flatmate's not psyched about it, I don't think.
This is part of the humbling. Okay.
Part of the humbling.
Yeah, this is less Sydney and more Lou Wall's housemate.
He's
made this known?
No, he was like, I'm having a dinner party tonight, and I was sleeping on the couch in the living room, and I was like, should I move? And so we just like moved all my stuff into Lou's. So I'm sleeping on Lou's floor now. Anyway, it's not fine. It's fine. It's fine. But that happened.
I mean,
it
doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
It's only a few days. And then I
feel like The Humbling would make a great Stephen King book.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The Humbling.
I should write this thing. Well, usually what happens when I come to Sydney is I get a bus drives past me and sprays me with gutter water like a jilted woman in a rom-com.
Sure. Uh-huh.
That's
sure.
happened 3 times on 3 different trips to Sydney. I never not have wet socks in this city.
But for people who have not seen Grace or met Grace before, can I describe your aesthetic to people? It's sort of prairie woman. Is that that's
time travel of vibes. Yeah.
I was so curious as to how you were going to do this.
Well, Grace and I've known each other for a couple of years.
She's not wearing a fucking stovepipe hat. Like, whatever you,
no,
I think
prairie woman. She's not Abraham Lincoln. I don't think she's going to get assassinated by John Wilkes Booth.
She's wearing, can I ask on John Wilkes Booth? Because I couldn't believe this when I like straw polled some friends about it, right? Because I saw a tweet, where somebody was... Actually, I've got to do this the other way around.
Okay.
Abe Lincoln was in Ford Theatre watching a play.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
John Wilkes Booth shot him.
Yes. Sure.
Where was John Wilkes Booth when he shot Abraham Lincoln?
I don't know. I guess from The Simpsons...
Again, you know so much more about American history than I do.
Grace, this is very basic stuff.
From The Simpsons, I think he was in the... thing in the booth with him.
Okay, yes.
But,
okay.
But I feel like for some reason I think he's on stage because he yells out sick Tyrannus or whatever, Sic Semper Tyrannus or whatever.
Why does that suggest that he's on stage?
Because he's sort of a performance to the
very
crowd.
Very dramatic guy.
And he pulls a gun
and people
shoots
can
him.
Talk when they're not on
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, but like if he's an actor, it's natural.
And it's rude, actually, if he's not. Because you've hit upon it.
And it's his last stand as well. He's getting arrested after this. He wants to be on stage for it.
Grace, I don't want to sound insulting, but based on your responses to both, both times we've talked about a very well-known president's assassination, am I right in assuming that you just have never given this any thought as to where John Wilkes Booth was when he shot?
I not, and I've never seen The Simpsons, so I don't even have that kind of logical. I knew he was shot.
That's how assassinations often work.
You ever see the show Bones?
You've seen Bones, but not The Simpsons? Because it might just be your like kind of prairie blouse, but I was like, maybe Grace doesn't watch TV. No, she watches TV. She just watches Bones.
I wasn't allowed to watch TV as a kid.
You've not created a taste for yourself. So now you watch things like Bones.
Yeah. Well, my mum liked Bones, so sometimes I could sneak in on some Bones. You know.
Hang on. So your parents could watch TV, but you couldn't.
Well, it turns out I've been thinking about this recently. I always thought I wasn't allowed to watch TV, but I think I have autism and I just ran out of script for how to ask. So when I was a kid, I was the most prairie child of all time. I would say, may I please watch the children's programs?
Oh my God.
That was my sentence that I had to say. And then I would watch the fucking
ABC Kids. And I'm imagining
Kids.
You're like churning butter while
I'm stitching clothes for my teddy bears.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so that was my sentence. And I remember the very last time I said it, I was like 13 and I said it and I went, oh, this isn't right anymore. I shouldn't say this anymore. Oh, but then I didn't have a replacement sentence.
You don't want to watch Play School anymore.
No, I wanted to watch something else.
Yeah, for
Bones, for example.
Right, yeah. But you didn't know how to
but
ask.
But I didn't know how to ask. So then right. I told my dad that recently. He was like, oh my God, that makes me so sad. I just thought I wasn't allowed to watch TV. And they were like, no, you were. It's just you didn't know how to ask us.
Can I say something that my son did the other day that made me so sad?
Yeah.
So like... he's at a really difficult age at the moment. He's like 4 years old.
All the ages are pretty difficult from
yeah,
what
yeah,
I
it's
can
true,
hear.
Actually. Every parent you ever talk to are like, oh, my kid's at this really difficult,
difficult
age. And it's always a different
childhood.
Number.
Childhood.
Yeah.
It's bad news.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to be.
Me either, man. I'm 25. I don't know how to be.
But so, and with the arrival of his little brother, he's like acting out in certain ways, but he's smart enough to know that he can't be like, I fucking hate this, that there's another kid.
Oh.
So, like, he actually, like, quite aggressively makes up for it by being, like, really affectionate with Arlo and, like, constantly saying, oh, I just love my brother so much.
I'm so glad you did this to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. He's confused with his feelings.
Yeah, well, no, that's the thing. I think he's not. I think he just knows that that won't fly.
Oh, if so he's not. It's he's not. He's no. He's not feeling dual feelings. He's trying to trick you.
Yeah. So he's like, well, I can't obviously say I can't believe you're paying attention to that baby
and not me.
So I'm going to melt down over the amount of grapes you gave me or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
so
yeah, standard.
Anyway, so he's been very difficult lately, and like I'm really trying not to get annoyed with him or like
of
angry
course.
With him. And so like you know, like I've never really wanted to be a parent that like raises my voice or like that a kid that can become angry at a kid. So what I've been doing is like kind of just like really, really like going, like trying to turn off any emotion I have when he is being so fucking annoying that I end up just saying things like, I don't know, man, do what you want. Like I'm really
now,
like the angriest you can imagine me, Michael.
Yeah.
You've given up.
Yeah.
You've gone limp.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, like, he'd be like, Daddy, I want to do some typing, because he loves taking my computer and opening up a text file and just typing away and then making me read out what he's written.
Unfortunately,
which is
you
gibberish.
Have a writer on your hands.
Yeah, yeah. So he was doing that, and then he kept closing the window and, like, I'd have to open it again. And I knew he was doing it because he just wanted me to, like, be playing with him. And what I should have done is just fucking played with him. But instead I was like, this is so annoying. He's being so manipulative.
Oh, right.
And in
okay.
the end,
yeah.
he was like, Daddy, can I just keep typing? And I said, man, do you know what? Do what you want. I don't care. Okay. And then like a couple of days later, he was like incandescently angry at me because we were trying to like, we needed to go home for dinner and he was at the skate park and he wanted to stay at the skate park.
Right.
And I could just see this like tantrum was like,
it was boiling up.
And I said to him, you know, buddy, like, if you want to keep coming to the skate park, you know, we've got to go now, because if I know that every time we go, there's going to be this big thing, then we won't go as much. So can you come with me? And he turned to me and went, I don't know, man. Do what you want.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
You created a monster.
It was so, I mean, quite apart from having a four-year-old call you man, like, it was such adult anger. Just to quickly return to why I raised John Wilkes Booth.
Yes.
Oh, yes. So wait, where was he when he got?
Well, you were right the first time, right?
He was in the.
He was just like behind him in
right.
the booth.
Yes.
That's
yes.
where okay. he got his name.
What's it called? Like a
the box.
Box.
The opera
yeah,
box.
Yeah.
Fancy, but expensive bit.
So I saw a tweet that somebody was like, can you believe I just spoke to my father and he thought John Wilkes Booth was on stage when he shot Lincoln. And I was with some friends and I was like, how fucking funny is this? These are not stupid people.
Right.
I don't have time for stupid people.
Well, we're here.
Yeah.
Half of them thought that was the case.
I would have believed he went on stage. He's an actor.
Yeah,
but I guess actually now that I think about it.
Clearly not good enough to be in the play. This is why he was so mad.
Disgruntled. Disgruntled act. Nothing more dangerous.
He didn't get the gig.
But now that I think about it, I guess what was the handgun or something?
Yeah.
Shooting from the stage into the
mic. Oh, yeah, you would reach it.
That would
yeah.
be, that feels, I mean, I've only played Call of Duty, so I don't really know, but pistols at that kind of range feel
Once again,
inaccurate.
I thought it was a rifle because of Bones, because the
what,
character...
How much is Bones talking about the Lincoln assassination?
The character of Booth in Bones is like related to the guy who killed Lincoln in the world of Bones.
Can you, Grace, for a second, tell me what the premise of Bones is, please?
Right. So Bones is this.
It's Angel.
Angel, yes. Yeah. And
David
he's playing Boreanaz. A Republican. It's weird. Uh-huh. And he's he partners up with this forensic anthropologist who's got autism, uh-huh. and she's like really into Bones. That's why they
like,
call
sorry.
Her Bones.
Oh, okay.
So she's name Bones. Is Bones.
He calls her Bones.
Sorry, I thought you meant she was into the television show Bones, and she's, that would have really upset me.
She rummages through big vats of decomposing people, and is like, "This was a dancer," you know, like that kind of shit.
Grace, canonically, does she have autism, or have you sort of imprinted this on her?
Oh, I've imprinted it, but so has everybody.
Okay, like, right.
It's pretty obvious. It's Sheldon levels of yeah. But he is like in the later seasons. I think they ran out of. It went for like 12 seasons.
It's a long
they ran out of shit to do.
That's crazy.
So they made him related to the guy who killed JFK. And he,
JFK or?
Oh no, not JFK.
Lincoln.
Lincoln,
right.
And he is an army sniper in the show. And so I was like, I don't
Hang
know
on, what does Angel,
rifle.
Why is Angel there?
No, it's not canonically Angel. It's just David
Boreanaz. I know. But like if there's one of them's a forensic. Okay.
Well, he's an FBI agent.
What am I, right, what okay. am I
so
thinking?
So he does the people skills and she does the bones.
Because I thought.
And then they get. Together later.
I thought he was a crime author.
No, she's a crime author.
And also into Bones.
And also
so she
into
has
Bones.
No official capacity in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He's got with the FBI and he just goes to her to outsource any
and
bone
she,
work.
He brings her along and then she's socially inept to witnesses and he's like, why'd you do that? And I'm like, well, why'd you bring her? Like,
yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. Okay.
Her vibes aren't the best.
Is it still running?
No, thank God. They finally shot that.
Okay.
Horse. And as a person with autism, is that the kind of representation you want? Sort of interest in bones kind of thing? You know,
can't have a relationship with others. No, I liked it as a kid because she
also
is
the only thing you're allowed to watch.
Yeah, she's so obviously like autistic, and she doesn't. And but she has this group of friends around her that like make her do things and like care about her and like invite her to stuff. And I was like,
right.
Oh, imagine. Like,
you've got friends, you've got comedians who put you up to all kinds
of
jokes.
Yeah.
Tom and Demi didn't have
what I was looking for.
Tom COVID, and Demi didn't have COVID.
They'd be wheeling you around town, you know?
They'd be taking you on bridge climb.
Yeah, take you to the zoo, get you to name all the animals, I don't know.
Taking me to the aquarium.
So what happened at this gig the other night? That was
right, so I was at this gig, it was pretty bad. There was a man doing jokes about lettuce, and I was like, he was crushing, and I was like, well, this is devastating.
What
can
you
remember?
Follow
this lettuce man.
Can you remember the
He was something about the price of lettuce, and then he was like
going
into like other jokes about various salad items. And it was like,
well, that's just good structure.
It was just, I was just like, this is, they love this so much, they're going to hate me so much. And I was like, hey, I have autism. They went, oh, which they always do in Sydney. I'm like, it's not terminal. I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
I just eat a lot of plain pasta.
I think culturally, I'm
going to be okay.
I think culturally, I think having neurodivergent conditions in Melbourne, much more open and talked about. In Sydney, it's like if you mention any kind of
they're like,
perceived
why aren't you
weakness,
in the hospital right
they
now?
They will run you down with their Porsche
truly.
To get to their
That's very meeting. True, I yeah. just realised.
Yeah.
It's very Sydney's very
they
like...
They hate it.
It's all gambling and real estate. That's
even,
the only things you can do in Sydney.
Even the empathetic audience members are like, don't show weakness, they're coming for you.
The bankers will get you.
They're coming! And then I did the store last night.
Sorry, just very funny imagining like, don't show weakness, like you saying I have autism and then the audience member being like, well, she's shown her Achilles heel.
Yeah,
it tells a Rubik's Cube on the stage.
Yeah, I don't know how to lie and I hate the sound of Velcro. They got me! They got me! And then I did the store last night and that was also fine. And then I walked out of the store and a man, I think was on a Bucks night because that's the only reason anybody goes to that goddamn place.
I mean, you're new to our city, but you know it well.
It's like the Gold Coast, but worse. Yeah. How'd you make it worse?
Because we condensed it. We condensed the entire Gold Coast into what? Like a square kilometre?
Every city does this where they're like, what if we tried to create a vibe? And it's like, you're bad at it. You can't.
Hey,
you
Grace,
added golf carts? Why?
I will also say...
Can I stop you right there? Because I think this is an opportune moment for a plug.
Well, because recently we were asked by the Comedy Store if we would could sponsor us.
Ooh.
And we haven't done an episode since this happened, Ben.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't agreed to it yet. So...
I would say the store is an oasis in that desert of...
I... think they didn't offer us enough money.
Oh, for great. Then fuck them.
Yeah.
But I will say...
I've had some very good gigs at the store.
Well, because we're about to have a very good gig at the store.
Oh, we are.
Let's put the plug in the middle so these fucking people turn it off.
Yes. Actually, we're doing, speaking of the Comedy Store, we've performed there many times with Dragon Friends. We've done Fred a Good Home there before, and we're doing it again on May the 13th. Ben, you and I, and some very funny guests.
Alex Lee, Cam James. Mm-hmm.
Brett Blake is also going to be there.
Somebody on Twitter pointed out all our guests, and you would be included in this if you were in town.
But you're back to Melbourne,
I'll
imagine.
I'll be in New Zealand.
Soft New Zealand.
Two first names.
Two double first, Alex Lee, Cameron James, Brett Blake. We're going to be on a live Free to a Good Home show there at 5 p.m. on the 13th of May.
5 p.m., the comedy hour.
Yes. And you'll be able to get
tickets.
Sun's
still out. Perfect.
Tickets from comedystore.com.au. It's part of the Sydney Comedy Festival. I think we've already sold like 100 tickets, Ben.
That's
so it's
going to
be a vibe. It's going to be a fun vibe. I'm also thinking I might just hit up a couple of other people who are in town.
Do you know what?
And see if they want to come by as well.
Do you know what I might have to do, which will be very funny
for
not me, but maybe everyone else?
Uh-huh.
As soon as you said that date, even though you've emailed me that date, you've texted me that date, you sent me a picture.
Yeah, I made a poster.
A poster that had the date quite prominent because it was good design.
Yeah.
When you just said it out loud then, I was like, I think Anya has a thing on that night, so I might need to bring Moses.
That's all right. I think Hum will be there.
Yeah.
And she likes hanging out with kids. She likes hanging out with Moses. That's
we could also bring him on.
Yeah, bring
Hum's
him on.
Being volunteered as a babysitter as
well,
we speak.
Recently, I guess I won't say the comedian's name, but we were in Melbourne and we were staying in an apartment, and it just so happened that a much more successful comedian than me was happened to be staying in the apartment next
to us. God, who's left? Bloody Lenny Bruce.
And they had a newborn baby.
Yeah.
And they had to go do their show, and they were like desperate for someone just to look after it. And Hum was like, I'll do it. Hum had met this person twice before, and they left the baby with Hum, and Hum was like, great time.
Second baby, first baby.
First baby.
That's nuts to me. Second baby, I would let anyone.
I would let John Wilkes Booth himself.
Yeah. I would.
Davey Boreanaz.
Yeah.
But first baby, you were too.
Well,
You wouldn't have left.
I wouldn't have left with, Mo with my sister. I wouldn't have.
This may explain my neuroses. I'm also a first baby.
Yeah, right.
We should get to some classifieds, but before we do. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to tell you about what happened when I came out of the store. Came out of the store. It was fine. Last year, I did the store. Was it last year or the year before? I did the store and it was fine. Full, great run of shows, all good. The late show on the Saturday night, horrific. So bad.
Yeah,
like
it can
eight
get a bit
groups
rough
of people
Saturday
were
night.
Heckling me at once, and I was like, you gotta schedule this if you wanna do this. You can't all do it at once. I can't address you all at once. And then I came upstage.
You're like a press secretary at a press conference. Yeah.
Please,
One at a time.
We'll get to your vitriol.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Intern.
I understand that you have criticisms of me as a person.
One at a time, please.
Let's get a roster going. Can we line up by the microphone? And then I came off stage and they all came up to me afterwards, drunk as shit, to be like, I could never do what you do. You're so brave. I was like, cool. Maybe don't yell at me while I'm doing it then. And they were all like touching me, and the bar manager had to be like, stop touching her. She has autism. And I like...
I love Dave, who manages the store, but they shouldn't be touching you whether you have autism or not.
Well, I think it was like a
and
larger...
And also that could be interpreted as like, you'll catch autism.
I think that was the feeling. That is the vibe in Sydney a lot of the time, is I think I get on stage and people are like, are we going to catch this? Like,
everyone put their masks on.
Yeah, is it spraying out through the microphone? And so then I drank like 3 vodka cranberries at once, which is like more than I'd ever drunk at all. Ever before, mm-hmm. and then I ate every lime in the Comedy Store, and eventually someone looked over at me and went, what? And I was just like surrounded by lime rinds, and they were like, what happened? And I was like, I ate all the limes.
And is the eating of limes, is that pleasurable for you, or is this a completionist disaster?
You did say that like it wasn't insane. You know what I mean? You did say, so of course, I ate all the limes I could find.
Well, they were like, we're going to chuck out all the limes now. And I was like, I'll eat them. I can't.
Okay. I mean, that
I can't
is some
abide
context.
The wasting of yeah. limes. And I was
like,
you
have a family history of scurvy that you're trying to.
And then it was my, it ticked over to midnight and it was my birthday. And I like got home to Tom and Demi and Tom like handed me a carrot and was like, happy birthday. And I was like, I have had the weirdest night. And then last night I was like, here we go. Let's do the store again. Let's do this. And I did the gig and it was fine. Daniel Muggleton was there. He was freaking out because he wasn't wearing his tracksuit.
Are you talking about lettuce or different guy?
No,
different
no lettuce.
Why like, because I know that he, I know his tracksuit is very important to his performance.
Yeah, he got called up at the last minute. He was at dinner. So he wasn't wearing his tracksuit.
But I would assume that Muggleton would be not unlike kind of Superman in the, under all his clothes.
That's what we were saying. We were like, why don't you have a backpack?
Keep it in the
why
back of the car. Know? Yeah, just
if
in
it's
case.
That crucial.
You know, and it like, wasn't crucial because he crushed. He was fine. And I was like, I didn't, you know, I wasn't even worried about a tracksuit. And I did okay. And then I walked out of the store to go back home and a man yelled at me, oi, tap dancing slut.
Goodness.
And I was like.
Goodness.
Slut, I understand, because that's like go-to man on the street yelling at woman walking.
It's a classic for a reason.
But I wasn't even tap dancing, you know?
Wait, had he watched the show?
No! I think he'd come from golf carting.
Hang on, hang on. Okay, sorry, okay. Grace, you've left that kid context before. Were you wearing tap shoes?
No, I was wearing my blue shoes. They're not tap shoes.
No, they're not, but... But okay.
But they're shoes you look at, I suppose.
Were you wearing anything spangly? Like a spangly vest or a spangly hat?
No, nothing
spangly.
Were you
wearing one of your famous top hats?
I may have been flapping my arms somewhat, but that's not a crime, you know?
Yeah, and look, even if you... Look, and I really want to like go on the record here. Grace could have been wearing tap shoes and tap dancing and still, it still would not have been okay.
Still not okay to yell that at people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we get into Glass of Wines, I have a quick story as well. We're about 25 minutes into the podcast. That's fine.
No, it's great.
Since last we went on the podcast, I went on a balloon.
Oh, I heard all about this balloon.
Yeah, went on a balloon ride. But now, Ben, you should have been on the balloon.
I know,
but you got you were sent away, I guess. So we went down.
I did think
he's on the no balloon list.
Yeah, no fly list. He's on the no fly list.
As you sent me a photo of you guys taking off in the balloon, I did wonder. And this is the second time I've referenced this film franchise. I did wonder if this was going to be a Final Destination situation where the balloon would go down and then I was meant to be on it and death would chase me.
Well, we were offered a balloon ride as dragon friends.
Yes.
Because there is a hot air balloon in the Dungeons & Dragons movie, and the people who own that movie are Paramount, who then also own Channel 10, who run the project.
Yeah.
So through that weird loop,
sure,
they found our podcast and were like, and also just through Dungeons & Dragons stuff, they were like, oh, we'll just
and
get
because
this
you're the orc of the project,
exactly,
as we know.
As we know,
your
Dungeons & Dragons
videos.
Podcast.
Yeah.
So they said, hey, do you want it?
They make you wear a robe every night.
So we went down to Melbourne to do a show.
Yes.
Did you come for that? I can't remember. No. Because you have a newborn child. Yeah. And they said to us, hey.
I mean, he'd leave him with anyone, but not alone.
Yeah.
And so they said, hey, do you guys want to go in a balloon? So me and Dave and Shaq and a few others. Well, actually, Shaq wasn't allowed to go. But
on account of being pregnant.
Yeah, kind of being pregnant.
Hang on, why?
I think they were like, if she starts to give birth, we can't just land it anywhere.
How pregnant is she?
She's like seven or 8 months pregnant.
She'd be she'd be pretty early if she went into labor around the time of the balloon.
Very much so, but that,
I would have thought it would be
rule.
Like a bath thing where you can't get the baby too warm or too high in the air. Or they're
Grace,
very
what
fickle.
The fuck are you talking about?
I don't know. You can't have hot baths when you're pregnant.
That's true, although disputed.
Okay.
But what do you mean by you can't get the baby too high in the air?
Yeah, if people have said that, they might be talking about just like smoking joints.
No. Now that I think about it, you're right. You're allowed in planes. What's wrong with
you? They don't like you in planes if you're about to pop, I think partly because of the pressurization and partly because...
You don't want to give birth on a plane.
You don't want to give birth on a plane.
Because then it's
that
illegal minefield. What if you're
a nightmare.
What if you're over international waters, you know?
Exactly.
Anyway, so...
Pirate, like a pirate radio station. You've got exactly. A pirate baby.
So we got bumped from the first flight because of weather. And then everyone else had to fly back to Sydney, or all the Dragon Friends people.
In the balloon?
No, in regular planes.
Okay.
So then they said to me, hey, we've still got the balloon booked for next Monday.
Yeah. And you were down doing your show anyway.
I was down there doing my show anyway. And so they said, do you know anyone else who wants to go in the balloon? So then I had to basically just like DM a bunch of people who are vaguely related to Dragon Friends.
Yeah.
People who have done the werewolf shows or the
Dragon Friends extended family.
Podcast or whatever. Yeah. People but
slash parasites.
Yeah.
The Hobbs and Shaw of the Dragon Friends
in
universe.
In this instance, Jordan Barr and Guy Montgomery, for example.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And about 10 of us.
Hobbs and Shaw.
About 10 of us got into this balloon.
Yep. And Ben Russell was there.
Ben Russell was there. Loads of great people.
Because when you when you sent me a photo of you guys about to leave in the balloon, I texted Ben Russell in a big balloon much, bitch.
so we went out of this balloon, and the whole time they kept saying to us, "What we'd love you to play a game of Dungeons and Dragons in the balloon."
Because this was initially, I think, their idea was it's going to be the highest altitude game of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I was about to say, because I reckon highest game of Dungeons and Dragons has been done.
But even on their literal basis, I think they had to scale that back when they realized people have played on planes. People have played in Mexico City.
In mountains. Yeah. And the balloon only goes about 5,000 feet in the air or something. So you're about a kilometer
up. It's more of like the most balloony game of Dungeons and Dragons.
That is so high.
It's really high. It's really, really high.
That is so much higher than I thought.
Yeah, it's not a plane, but it's really fucking high.
Did you notice that it was more difficult to breathe?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay.
No. Excuse me, I'm just burping here.
He's ruined. His lungs have been ruined.
But when you go on, have either of you been in a hot air balloon before?
Oh, shut up. You know I haven't.
No.
When you turn up for the balloon,
they
say that you get in the balloon. There's a lot of safety briefings and stuff. And then they let it go. And then once you're in the air, they go, "Oh, we can't steer this."
Like as a joke, they say that?
No. They're like, just so, like you're sort of talking to them. And then they go, "Oh, by the way, there's no way to steer a balloon." And of course there isn't. You're just at the mercy of the wind.
Feels like you should say that before you leave the ground.
I think they might have mentioned it, but maybe I wasn't listening or something.
Wow.
But like,
safety breaching is going great for you.
So the guy's just looking at an iPad and looking at sort of wind currents and stuff. And you can't go, you can't turn left or right, but you can rotate on the spot, right? Like around. And you can also go up or down. That's all you can control.
Up or down seems right to me. Like that. Yeah. That much I'd assume.
I like the. I like down. I like that you can go down again.
Yeah. So basically, what happens is and in Melbourne, it's fucking cowboy rules. Everyone, like, you don't. If you've got your balloon license, you can just fucking go. You can basically take off from any park, really. And then you just land where you fucking land.
This seems insane to me.
It's insane. I can't get across how insane this is. So
my only experience of balloons is when I was a kid. I used to live in Canberra because my dad's in the army, and they have like a balloon hot air balloon like festival.
Sky Whale, for example.
And so
Sky
Whale, for example. That.
No one's. But they all land in the same place, and then all the kids we would run out and we would roll on the balloons to get the air out of them.
Yeah.
So I guess.
So what they do is they drive you out to some. They go vaguely. The wind is going like southwest or whatever.
They call that a sou'wester.
Yeah, or it's from the northeast to the southwest, right?
Sure. They call that a nor'easter.
And so they drive you out to the northeast, and they sort of get a ruler and draw a line from there and go, right, if we keep flying in this direction with this wind, we should hit a park at some point and we'll land on a golf course or a park or whatever.
It's the wild fucking west.
It's fucking crazy. And so what happens is you just go up in the air
and
there's like a fleet of balloons because everyone wants to get up in the morning and everyone's got the same trajectory, right? So there's like 10 or 12 balloons all flying. And if they've took off before you, they can get all the good landing spots.
Sure.
So you go, oh, we'll land over there. And then someone else lands and you're like, oh, fuck, I can't land there, right?
Because you can't. How would a balloon race work? Because I swear there's balloon races.
Yeah, I think they haven't had them in a while. I think they're more like Zeppelin races, maybe.
Or it could be
raising
around the world in 80 days. Was that a balloon?
Well, but one of the things that he did was a balloon.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I think it was like a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and Balloons situation.
I get why they don't put balloons in that.
Yeah.
it lowers the legitimacy.
So we're flying over this park and the guy's like, we'll land there, and then we can't land there because another balloon lands there. And then we're flying over the motorway
You can't land there.
Where they had the big F1 race.
Oh, God.
Albert Park. They're like, hey, you can just land on Albert Park. And then someone else landed in Albert Park. And we're like, okay, well, we can't get there. So then we're just floating.
How many balloons are in the sky at any one time?
Well, you have to have them out of the sky by like 9:30, 10. Because then a lot of other commercial, the air traffic is too much. And there's too many planes taking off and landing and stuff. And so so the guy's talking to like regular air traffic control, but he's in a balloon. Did you understand how crazy this is?
You're in a wicker basket.
Yeah, and he's talking to like the airport being like, oh, we're coming in from the north. Like it's the same thing, but he's just like a guy in a balloon. It's crazy.
Do you think the people at air traffic control have like snobbery for the balloon corps?
No, so the balloon people are considered like they're the fucking guns.
Oh, they're like the aviators.
Because if you do balloon, you've got to have both aeroplane and helicopter license, apparently. So you need both licenses.
I just learned that my dad could fly a balloon. This is so exciting. I have to text him.
So what happens is you just keep flying. And I was like, and then you start to see water. And you're like, well, we're going to die.
Yeah.
I can't.
We're at sea.
This is crazy. And like, you can't stop. Like, you can't turn around.
No, you can spin on the spot.
You can spin on the spot and you can go up and down. And so the guy goes, yeah, we're going to have to land on the beach. And that's basically, obviously, the beach surrounds the, you know, so as long as there's no cliffs, you're allowed to land on any beach.
Did you just explain the beach to us?
Well, no, so it just means, I didn't think about this until I was in the balloon.
It's the sand next to the water, I've heard of it.
Yeah, but I didn't think about this before, but like that's a kind of a national park around the entire country, whatever, where you can just land anywhere, right?
Okay.
Aside from cliffs.
Yeah, cliffs right? will get
so you. Basically, so a beach landing is
that's the last resort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Before you go out to sea and drown and die in a fucking balloon.
Yeah.
Mm.
So there's a road that goes between the buildings and the beach, right? There's just sort of shops and stuff and then a big road. And then there's like a huge row of palm trees, right? And then there's the beach.
Uh-huh.
So the guy's got to clear the building and clear the palm trees and then dump the balloon between the palm trees and the water.
And that, on that little narrow
that
stretch
is
of sand.
Hard down.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, you need to stop like talking. Like we're all joking around. He's like, okay, we've got to concentrate now. We're like, okay. And like he we like basically hit a bunch of trees, but not really, but like came real close. We almost clipped a satellite dish at one point. It was like real fucking hairy. We come over the palm trees and he goes, right, brace yourselves.
Oop.
And they just like fucking dump the balloon and it just like dropped out of the sky. And we were braced and fine.
What is the brace position in a balloon?
I would say it's
just like fetal.
yeah, it's sort of you put. There's like a little handle you hold on to.
Now we know a lot of the people you were in the balloon with.
Yeah.
As will our listeners, I think.
Yeah.
Who handled it the best? Who handled it the worst?
I would say Naomi Higgins handled it one of the worst.
I was about to say. Yeah.
She at one point when we were going towards the ocean. She kept pointing out all the big boats in the ocean.
Oh, to be like, you could land on that.
No, it was more just like, I think she was just talking about the big boats in order to not talk about the fact that we all thought we were going to die.
Okay. Yeah.
But also, it's a very peaceful thing when you're up there in the boat.
Knowing that you're going to die?
No,
it's a very peaceful thing.
No, because you're up there in the middle of the sky and there's no wind because you're traveling with the wind.
Oh,
does that
course.
Make sense? So you're, yeah, so there's no, it's very sense. Still. And so it's very peaceful. And people, as you fly over them, you bring joy to people.
Yeah,
people
that's
are waving
true.
At you.
People
it's quite
would
nice.
Adore it.
So everyone's in a good mood until we thought we were all going
to die.
And then Naomi was like, oh, look at that boat. Oh, look at that. Like just trying to get her mind off it, I think. Okay. I think Guy Montgomery dealt with it very well.
I would say that, again, yes. those two people.
That makes
is,
perfect
is basically
sense.
And like, how would I, if I had been able to as first planned to be on the balloon, how do you think I would have?
Well, as a person with children, I think you would have done well at calming down Naomi.
Yeah, but then also
because she like the look at that thing. That's a very child approach. Yeah. I was once in the 9/11 museum, and a man with a baby who was crying was trying to get the baby to stop crying by pointing at things, and I was like. We're in the 9/11 museum, dude. He's like, look at that, a watch of a dead person. Like, ah! And also I was like, I think this is the one time, this is the one place in the world you're not allowed to tell someone to stop crying.
Can I just say, Naomi, I think it's really fascinating that you've been to the 9/11 museum and yet still when we asked you if you could change one thing from history, you said you're set 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. It was very cold in New York. It was warm in that museum. I'm
so
a big
know,
fan.
You did
this
call
is
Grace. Naomi then, just then.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about Naomi. They're all the same.
Yeah, I mean, look.
All women look alike.
Women. anyway, so we landed this thing and we crashed on the beach and everyone was fine, but we had to, like, it was a bit of a bumpy landing. And then the guy turns to us and goes, I've never done that before. And we're like, what? And he's like, yeah, I didn't want to tell you up there because I thought I might freak you out. I was like, yeah, good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good call. Well done. Yeah. Naomi
anyway,
might have shit herself.
He was a fucking pro. He
good
was like,
instincts.
Nerves of steel. Just like, I'm going to concentrate. I'm going to land this. And he fucking nailed it.
That's really made my day knowing that, like, at a pilot's bar, like, if a balloonist walks in, it's like he's the hero.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's fucking cool, hey.
It's Maverick.
I would say, you know how you were saying if you escaped and we died, Final Destination?
Yeah.
I was thinking if we all died, it would have been a huge blow to Australian New Zealand podcasting, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It would have
yeah.
been the plane that the big bopper was on. It would be the day the podcast died.
Yeah. Don McLean's still alive, so he could have updated that song like Elton John did with Candle in the Wind.
And then the South Korean president could have sung our version when he met President
exactly.
Biden. You see, it would have been great.
There were a lot of chuckle fuckheads in the one place aloft. And that's not what podcasting needs.
If that balloonist was a very specific kind of terrorist, you guys would all be done.
Oh, man. Imagine if he tried to 9/11 with a balloon, but it just sort of bounced off Donk. The side. It's like, I haven't thought this through, Larry. Oh, God.
Guys, we haven't gotten to a single classified, but no, I have left my wife and my two children at Broadway family. Shopping Center, and I believe that my wife is probably having, my God, the worst time. So I am going to have to bow out.
Yeah, let's quickly just plug some stuff. Grace, you're doing some shows here in Sydney, but they'll be done by
the time. They'll be done.
But then you're going to New Zealand and then Edinburgh this year if people want to go see Grace Jarvis' show. You can find links to that on her social media.
It's called This Is the Last Goldfish That I'm Going to Eat For You.
And the photo, the poster is you holding a bag with a goldfish in it.
Yeah, looking at it like I might eat it. But people are very concerned. I did not eat the goldfish. I've never eaten a goldfish. My dad came up with the title.
Didn't you say you could swallow a goldfish and then vomit it back up one time?
I've never once claimed that.
You have claimed that he said that to me before.
What did you?
I think that's science.
I can regurgitate stuff within reason, but I've never tried a goldfish.
That's for the best.
But do you think you could?
Mm.
I mean, it's the same principle as a coin, right? Or a key.
I'll get back to you.
Okay. Well, if you want to see Ben eat a goldfish, come to our live show.
Yeah.
May 13th.
Possibly with my 4-year-old son, Moses.
I'll get him to eat the goldfish. The RSPCA can't be mad at a 4-year-old.
No, exactly.
I'm doing a bunch of stand-up shows at the Comedy Festival in Sydney and doing two shows at the Comedy Store. And then that's this coming week. And then also on the 20th of May, I'm doing a taping if anyone wants to come along to that. That'll be fun.
It's exciting. It's GD, right? Or what used to be GD?
Yeah, what used to be GD, now the Grand Electric, and it's the current show tour. So I've done it like 40 times, so it's good now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I've cut all the bad jokes.
It's either good or you're really stubborn.
Yeah, I will say there are like two or three jokes that never get much that I'm keeping in.
Yeah,
But, you know, mostly I've cut down all the stuff that doesn't work.
I saw it in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Thank you, Grace.
It was good.
Thank you, Grace.
Right after that. I had the worst show of my run, so then I cried in a grilled afterwards, but it was unrelated to Michael Bing.
Oh, there's that whole section where I call you a tap dancing slut. Yeah, yeah.
It was hurtful, but, you know, got a great reaction from the crowd.
Anything else you want to plug, Banjo?
Nah, man. I think I just enjoy...
Parenthood?
Get a couple of kids. Get a couple of kids. They're like little people.
Well, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
Bye!
Bye.
If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.